630 Chad presents The Elks This Week. A close-up look at the Elks and the Canadian Football League. Every week, we take you inside the game. From the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 Chad. Here's Morley Scott.
John Ryan will hold. Peter Agee will snap. Castillo looking to give the Elks the lead to keep their season alive. The ball is up and... Este bueno! The Elks take a 26-24 lead over the Saskatchewan Roughriders with 24 seconds to go. Is it the final play of the game? Fajardo wants to load it up. He can't find anyone downfield. He's in the backfield dancing and spinning. He rolls to the left side. Finally, he dumps one deep downfield. It's into the air and onto the ground. And this one is over. And like the Bee Gees, the Elks are staying alive. 26-24, the Elks defeat the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and will live to fight another day in this playoff race in the CFL West.
A wild, bizarre, fun, frenetic, just a wild night in the Canadian Football League. And the Edmonton Elks are still alive in the playoff race in the Western Division. Good evening. Yes, it's another voice. Although Mr. Voice was right. It was Morley Scott. But you'll hear from Morley Scott throughout this. We're going to relive that game, but Morley's on vacation, hanging out in the deep reaches of Saskatchewan. Was in Saskatoon last night. If you follow him on social, you saw him. He was at the Eagles concert, so he's pretty happy about that. So, yeah, I'm taking you through this half hour, and we're going to have Jerry Haraxy coming up soon. You know him as the executive director for the Spirit of Edmonton, or the chairman of the Spirit of Edmonton. We're going to have a normal Grey Cup week, finally, for the first time since 2019 in Calgary. There was a Grey Cup last year in Hamilton, but a very scaled back version just because of COVID-19. And of course, there wasn't a season in 2020. So, you know, the Spirit of Edmonton is the highlight of any Grey Cup party. So we'll hear from Jerry about that. But right now, let's take you through this wild game, which kept the Elks' playoff hopes alive. They improved to 4-10. They're 4-4 on the road. Yes, I know they're not. They haven't won yet at home. They're 0-6. We'll get to that in a moment. And they also finally win their first game against a Western opponent. And they win for the first time this year against the Saskatchewan Roughriders at the very same time as they unfortunately lose the season series, but they got the one win. And it was a win they needed to stay alive. But boy, did it not start very well for the Elks.
Ball is down, kick is up, and the Riders have struck first, taking a 3-0 lead in the shotgun here on 3rd and 1. Sounds like a song. Here's Fajardo, drops back, he wants to throw, he's got a man downfield, and it is complete into the end zone. Touchdown Saskatchewan to Shaq Evans. 3rd and 1 turned into 3rd and touchdown for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Evans in the end zone on a big bomb from Cody Fajardo.
3rd and 1 from the gun, more like 3rd and 1.5, maybe closer to 2, but definitely great play call from offensive coordinator Jason Moss. They get the one-on-one matchup. Shaq Evans with the field corner, Jamie Harry, who was replaced later in the second half by Deron Carter, but Shaq Evans ran a great route on the go, and just a great start for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. 10-0 is the score, and you're like, oh, here we go again. But the Elks find a way to erase that early deficit and take the lead.
Everybody's going. Taylor Cornelius takes the snap. He'll roll to the right side. He's going to go now across the 45 to the 50 to midfield. Still on his feet. Cornelius to the 30 to the 20 and finally down inside the 20. What a run by Taylor Cornelius, who got that 6'5" frame really moving through midfield. Here's a field goal attempt from Sergio Castillo, and it's up and through, and the Elks will settle for 3 on this one, and it's a 10-3 game as Castillo hits the field goal.
Oh man, he gets around the corner to the 30. He gets to the 35, the 40, the 45. Still on his feet. Fumbles the ball, but it goes out of bounds on the play. What a huge run again by Kevin Brown. I love this kid.
The ball is on the 1. Now the Elks can worry about getting into the end zone and tying this game up. Cornelius will go under center again to take the ball from Cordy. There's the snap. Cornelius will plow ahead. He's into the end zone. Handler up, Edmonton. Touchdown, Elks. Taylor Cornelius plows his way into the end zone for his ninth rushing touchdown of the season, and the Elks are a convert away from tying it. Cornelius stands 5 yards back to take the snap. Flags come out as he drops back. He'll throw. He's going for Dylan Mitchell. He's got it at the 30, the 20, the 10, into the end zone. But what is the penalty flag for? We'll have to wait and see what the call is. And it looks like Cornelius knows it's going against the Riders because he's got his arms in the air and is running back down to the Saskatchewan end zone.
So the Elks give up the first 10 points, and then they score the next 17 points. And then it's a back and forth type of game. And the Elks only get 9 points the rest of the way, but the defense really, really stepped up. But oh, there were some tough moments too. Another blocked punt.
Oh, another punt block. Third game in a row, a kick has been blocked. Oh my goodness. And this is going to put the Riders inside the 25-yard line or around the 25-yard line to start this series.
They did a pretty decent job, you know, covering kicks tonight. We've been doing some analytic things with the kickoffs to try to put the ball in other people's hands and try to, you know, get kicks with hang time for drive start and stuff. And Sergio's still working through some of his kinks with that as well, you know, not just driving the ball deep all the time. And we're trying to keep the ball out of, you know, their best guy's hands. And so, again, it's no secret what we're trying to do. I mean, if you watch the film, you know. So, I mean, it's but at the same time, we've got to shore up our protection in the punt game. And we've got, if we have to bring all of our gunners and jokers in and have everybody protect them, we've got to get the daggum punt off. And you know, it's certainly something that over the bye week, we're going to look at different options.
Yeah, they got to fix it. They just have to fix it. Fourth straight game with a blocked kick. 4 games ago was a blocked field goal at the end of the half against the Ottawa Redblacks. That was a home loss. And then 3 straight games, Labor Day rematch, the game in Regina on Friday, blocked punts. And very similar circumstances where you had basically a free man come up the middle and block the punt, you know. So why is this happening? They're playing games up front. They're overloading some rushers, and it's not getting picked up really all that well because one man gets free all the time. And I remember on Labor Day, I think it was, I can't remember who blocked the punt, McKnight, I think. He basically drove Ante Milanovic Litre into John Ryan. So somehow they're letting a free man get in once a game and blocks a punt, and that's not good. The Riders, they were scrappy and they hung around. They had some difficulties, obviously, with protection, but they got a late lead in the fourth quarter, and that made Elks fans quite nervous.
There's the snap. Fajardo drops back, throws into the end zone. Touchdown. And it is complete in the end zone to Braden Lenius. And the Riders have tied the game at 23 with 68 seconds to go. Also to come the point after attempt. Point after attempt is good. And for the first time in a long time, the Riders lead this game. 24-23, Saskatchewan takes the lead. And the Elks now have 68 seconds to keep their season alive.
Now, it was kind of a tough quarter for the Elks offensively. Darrell Walker, actually the half period, Darrell Walker dropped 2 passes that could have been first downs, that could have improved Taylor Cornelius' completion percentage from 54% to about 62%. But boy, was he clutch on the final drive, D-Walk was. And Taylor Cornelius spoke about what the two talked about before going out for that final scoring drive.
You know, after that 2-1 out there with, what was it, I think maybe 7-8 minutes left, you know, we you know, me and him talked on the sideline. We told each other that, you know, we're going to have another opportunity at this. And, you know, we're right back in it, get his mind right. And he, you know, put it behind him and came up huge. And, you know, with especially on the first play to get that first down, I mean, that's the biggest thing on a 2-minute drive like that.
63 seconds to put points on the board. Three receivers to the left side, two to the right. Cornelius throws, and it's complete. Darrell Walker's got that one across the 50 to the 51-yard line. Looked like he juggled a little bit, but second and 10. 33 seconds on the clock. Motion starts for Cornelius. He'll throw, and Walker's got another one to the 40-yard line. Darrell Walker coming through in the clutch for the Elks, and that won't be a first down, but it gets the ball to the 40.
Here comes Castillo.
From the 47.5-yard line, John Ryan will hold. Peter Agee will snap. Castillo looking to give the Elks the lead to keep their season alive. The ball is up, and Este Bueno. The Elks take a 26-24 lead over the Saskatchewan Rough Riders with 24 seconds to go.
I think as a kicker, you always want, I want every game to be a game winner, and I was just very fortunate and blessed that was able to have the opportunity, and give props to Peter and John Ryan. You know, they've been making it easy on me, you know, just to kick, you know, the past 6-7 games, so I'm just grateful for them, and, you know, obviously O-line protecting, and, you know, Taylor out there. Man, he's looking good out there. So, you know, I was just very grateful for him to give me an opportunity to help the team.
So a huge win. And what does it mean for the standings? Look, it's going to be very, very tough for this team to make the playoffs. Let's not mince words here. But for the culture of the team, building this process, building this program, as Chris Jones says, he commented on what this win could mean for that.
You feel it in the locker room. I mean, we've got a bunch of good dudes in there, and again, they work hard. They enjoy being around one another. You know, it's just you know, it's been so frustrating, you know, watching them, you know, play just good enough to walk off the field and not have a win. And I'm just I feel so good just the fact of we can go get on the airplane right now and enjoy being around one another. Last night when we met, you know, at the hotel, it was just a really good atmosphere. The guys, you know, are beginning to kind of bond and want to hang out, and, you know, it's never too late to do any of that when you're building a program.
So this comes off a tough loss where they lose 56-28 to the Calgary Stampeders in the Labor Day rematch. This comes during a practice week where the head coach blasted his team after Wednesday's practice, not being happy with it. And he actually said, you know, probably wasn't that bad, but I need to blow off some steam with some things that I was seeing. And you're not sure what you're going to see. Didn't start very well, but the offense got going. They had overall 423 yards of offense. Taylor Cornelius, 237 yards passing, one touchdown, five touchdowns to two interceptions over his last five games. The fourth time in that stretch, he's been over 100 in the quarterback rating. Kevin Brown has a 12.8 yard average. I mean, his rushing stats are just insane right now. I mean, it's well over 200 yards of offense. Dylan Mitchell is already surging up the charts for the Elks and for the league. He has 343 yards receiving in just four games. He has a 22.9 average per catch, which is nuts. And Taylor Cornelius, part of the run game as well, with 91 yards rushing to go with 109 for Kevin Brown, 202 yards. Fajardo was sacked eight times, two by Jake Cerezo. Connors, who I thought had his best game of the year, he's been kind of silent for a while. Adam Konar had a strip sack. Coney Ely had a sack on the final drive, which was key. Yes, Christian Rector in his first game since July 7th played well. Cody Fajardo, I know he was criticized big time by his coach, but Cody Fajardo as well only had seven incompletions. All those seven incompletions were knockdowns by the Elks. There was one that was going out of bounds. But in six of those seven incompletions, he was pretty accurate. Ed Gainey had three knockdowns. Also, let's see here. Oh, here we are. Scott Hutter had two, and Tristan Decoud had two, who was moving to the short corner from wide half, and he played pretty, pretty well. Sergio Castillo, he had double doink in that game. Walther had a doink. off the bar. So did Castillo. Had some trouble with kickoffs, but he had a couple deep kickoffs that were key. He's got to fix the punt blocks. 12-3 discrepancy in penalties is strange to me. Some penalties, though, the Elks have to clean up. So they're on the bye this week. So are the Riders. So nothing changes in the standings. The Riders play the Winnipeg Blue Bombers next weekend, and the Elks host the Montreal Alouettes to stay alive in the playoff hunt. You can catch that game right here on 630 CHED, 12:30 for countdown to kickoff. 2 o'clock is the kickoff as the Elks try to end that 14-game losing streak at home. When we come back, details on the Spirit of Edmonton as a Grey Cup week returns to normal in a couple of months in Regina.
Now, more football talk on the Elks this week. Here's Morley Scott on the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 CHED.
Dave Campbell and for Morley Scott this week. And you know, in 2 months' time, Regina, Grey Cup week. And the best party at Grey Cup week is the Spirit of Edmonton. And it's the first normal Grey Cup week in 3 years. And talk about the Spirit is Jerry Haraxi from the Spirit of Edmonton. Jerry, nice to have you on the show again. How you doing?
Hey, Dave, thanks for having me on. I'm doing awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. We're kind of running out of time here, but we got a few minutes just to chat about. I mean, this is exciting. I know last year there was a Grey Cup festival. It wasn't really like we're used to, though, because of the COVID-19 restrictions. But hey, we're back, baby, though, right?
Oh yeah, we're back. We are so excited. Last year we were in Hamilton and we had to go. You know, we wanted to represent the Elks and the city of Edmonton last year in Hamilton, and it was so nice when people were coming up to us and thanking us for being there. And it really made it clear in my mind that the Spirit of Edmonton brings Canadians together at Grey Cup for one of the best weekends of the year. And this year we're really excited to be in Regina. We're going to be at the Connectus Arts Centre and the main banquet room there. We're going to be able to put in 1,500 people a night. We're going to be back to the typical Spirit of Edmonton great rock and roll show.
That's great. And usually starts Thursday. Is this the case this time?
Yeah, we're doing Thursday night. We're opening the doors at 4 o'clock. We're bringing Tall Boy from Edmonton. They're kind of our house band. They've been playing at our tailgate every home game. They're going to be opening up our show. And then we have a bunch of Saskatchewan talent that's going to be following all weekend long, including the Harrison James Band out of Saskatoon. We have the Night Train, which is one of the best Guns N' Roses cover bands in North America. We've got them coming in for a couple of shows Friday and Saturday. And it's just going to be a fantastic show. I think this year is probably one of our best years ever for the entertainment lineup that we have.
Yeah, that's exciting. Another exciting event is always the Spirit of Edmonton Breakfast. That's a highlight event, and the Sluice Juice will be flowing.
we have 2 500-liter tanks that we ship to every Grey Cup party. We will be mixing that Sluice Juice at about 6:30 in the morning. The doors this year, we're going to be in the Connexus Center, the same room where our party from the night before is going to happen. We will be downstairs there. We have 1,300 seats available. The tickets are available right now online at thespiritofedmonton.com. We're about a third of the way sold out after 3 days. I always say it's the toughest ticket a Grey Cup to get. And we will sell that one out again, too. So really looking forward to hosting a huge breakfast again.
Exciting stuff. Jerry, thanks for your time, and we'll have you on again down the road as we get closer to Grey Cup. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave. Take care.
Jerry Haraxi from the Spirit of Edmonton. Yes, normal Grey Cup. First full-fledged, like, go do whatever you want. First time we've been able to say that since 2019 in Calgary. NFL Monday Night Football, we got 2 games. I don't know why, but don't ask why. We got 2 games. Buffalo Bills, end of the third quarter, are Hulk smashing the Tennessee Titans 41-7. Stephon Diggs has 3 touchdown passes, and Jake Allen has been amazing. Halftime, Philadelphia Eagles 24-7 over the Minnesota Vikings. So Elks are off this week. They're back at practice on Saturday. Then they'll be back for their prep week a week tomorrow for day one preparation. Montreal Alouettes on the Brickfield at Commonwealth Stadium for Saturday, October 1st, 12:30 countdown to kickoff. 2 o'clock is the kickoff right here on 630 CHED. For Kellen Kennedy, I'm Dave Campbell. Have a great evening. Good night.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.